serve a risen Savior? Aren't you glad you serve a God who allows you to smile, who allows you to laugh, who wants you to be joyful? Aren't you glad that your Savior is alive today? That He ain't looking for a bunch of mindless drones. That He can and is indeed touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That everything that you and I are going through, He also goes through. You see, we have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. He's the third member of the Trinity, and I realize I'm kind of touching on the sermon here, but that's A-okay. But we've been indwelled with the Holy Spirit, so anything and everything that you and I see, touch, interact with, guess what? He also goes through. Now, I ain't got a clue why in the world I've got a blue box that has popped up here on the broadcast here. So hopefully we're still broadcasting. And if not, you know, that's okay. We will somehow get through this. If we got to just start it back up again later, I don't know. Like I said, I can't exactly read it. But I'm not worried about it because I know my God is going to supply the need. If there's a little glitch in the system, there's a little glitch in the system. But I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about serving my Lord and Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, all that being said, take your Bibles if you would, please, because I'm not a palm reader. And let's go over to Acts chapter number 19. And we're going to continue here in our Forward Progress of the Church series. I thought it kind of interesting that today our sermon is number 77 in our series here. And, of course, my note there is a little too small for me to even try to see what the 77 might would be, biblical number-wise speaking. But I do know that that 7 is perfection. So 77 probably is somewhere along those lines there. Amen. So just kind of fitting, you know, something that came to mind there. But the reason for that I'm saying that is because our sermon is titled today, Some Aspects of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit part is, you know, where I'm getting the whole business of thinking about the biblical number 77 and 7 meaning completion or perfection. So let's go ahead and get started here. Verse number 1 of Acts 19. And I hope you brought your running shoes today, because we're going to be leaving here and going to many passages of Scripture. So if you ain't got your running shoes, make sure you got a pen and paper so you can write these Scripture references down so as that afterward you can go back through and read it for yourself. Amen. We want everybody to follow along the best way that they possibly can, because the fact of the matter is, the more we learn about the Bible, the stronger of a Christian we become. Amen. And this is a topic that we generally don't preach enough on that we need to hear more about. So let's read Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, remember we dealt with Apollos last time we were here in Acts, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, that's where Apollos had been preaching, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, watch this now, church, watch this. We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. My. What an answer. Scary part is that there are a great many so-called Christians out there who in 2022 will still respond the same way. They have no idea about this so-called Holy Ghost thing, person, whatever that would be. They have not been given any understanding about him. We're not going to deal with everything today about the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to be honest with you up front as to why. There's too much. He's a series of sermons all by himself. So we want to just hit some of the high points today. Perhaps next week we'll come back for some more. I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet in seeking God's will for the next sermon. But I do want to touch here on some of these aspects of the Holy Ghost so that we can learn who the Holy Ghost is, why he is important to us, why he's more than just two words put together, Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Okay? So let's go ahead and bow in a word of prayer here, and let's see what the Lord's got for us today. Abba Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I want to thank you, Lord, that you've given us your holy word, the Bible here. And that everything that we need to know is found inside. That if we'll just put forth a little bit of effort, we can indeed learn vast amounts. Now maybe they're not worldly things, but they are things of you. And like any couple who's come together and they're trying to learn about each other, the likes and dislikes, do this, don't do that. Children, as they grow, learn what pleases mama and daddy. What displeases them. How they should act. What they should do. Parents, as their children grow, they learn what their child likes and does not like. What they're willing to do. What they're capable of doing. So on and so forth here. By spending time in your word here, we grow. That our faith grows. That our spiritual strength grows. That our understanding of you grows. That we can become the Christians that you'd have for us to be. That we can become the sons and daughters that you so desire, not only of us, but for us. And we thank you, Father, that you have gone more than just given us your written word. You have given us your Holy Spirit to live inside of us. To help us to better understand you and your word here. To help us to make the right choices. To help us to grow. Thank you, Father. And I want to ask you here real quickly for Sister Marty. For help for her, please. And all the trials that she's going through right now. You know exactly what it is. And you know how to take care of it. And we're thankful, Father, that you're going to do just that for her. That's it for now, Father. We'll talk to you in a little bit. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul has begun his third missionary trip. As we saw last time that we were there in Acts chapter 18, Apollos had arrived here at Ephesus and he had preached, but he only knew as up to the point of John the Baptist. Aquila and Priscilla found this out and they pulled him to the side. They witnessed to him. He got saved. They instructed him. They taught him what he needed to learn. And he proceeded to preach there at Ephesus. Became an even greater preacher for the Lord. And he has then gone and moved on over to Corinth now we see here. But let me just say this real quickly. You're going to find people who will come into your life. They'll hear something and they will move on, but they won't know the rest of your journey. They won't know the rest of it. We find here we've got certain disciples. They heard of Paulus the first time, but this was before he himself had even gotten saved. So is that next time they come back into Ephesus, here's Paul, and they're talking with Paul, and Paul realizes, hey, wait a minute, I think I need to ask them a question. So he asks them, says, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost now that you're believers? And it's like, and they start looking at each other and says, what in the world is this guy talking about here? Apollos didn't mention nothing about this. Yeah, we believe in the baptism of John. What else is there? And Paul realizes, whoa, fellas, we got some work to do. It's no good that you lack knowledge of the Holy Spirit and what He does for us. So he began to preach to them Jesus. He began to explain to them what's going on. He began to tell them of the role of the Holy Ghost. And having just finished up with Easter time here, we've heard a great deal about what Jesus has done for us there on the cross of Calvary. What the Father has done by sending His own Son to die upon that cross and then bringing Him back to life 3 days later. How about we give the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, a little bit of due as well? He's just as an important member of the Holy Trinity as God the Father and God the Son. He is co-equal to all of the members. Well, yeah, granted, we say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is because the Father is generally the greatest as far, if someone were to come along and try to introduce me and my dad to somebody, they would naturally start off with my dad because he is my dad. That is his position. He is, in theory, okay, and don't misunderstand me there. In theory, he would be the greatest. I, being the Son, am the lesser by definition because I'm just the Son. So we say God the Father, God the Son. Holy Spirit, He does not come between the Father and the Son. There's no arguments going on. So we've got God the Father who has done all this for us and adopted us into His family. We've got God the Son who has done all this for us and died for us so that we can be adopted into the family of God. So it's just simply, okay, now we just say God the Holy Spirit. It's not that He's less than the Son and not that He's less than the Father, because the Son isn't less than the Father, because that's one of the things that the Pharisees hated about Jesus. He said that I and my Father are one. He made Himself equal to the Father. Well, the Holy Spirit is equal to the Son. He's equal to the Father. But we don't hear as much preaching about the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament alone, let me give you a few facts here. In the New Testament alone, there are 7,957 verses, of which the Holy Spirit is mentioned 261 times. Maybe that's a little disproportionate, but He's there, and He's certainly mentioned a whole lot more times than my name is, a whole lot more times than your name is, too. Of those 261 times, 56 times are in the four Gospels. 57 times He is mentioned in the book of Acts, the Paulinian epistles, Romans through Philemon, He's mentioned 112 times. From Hebrews through the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 36 times. And we say Hebrews because, we're not 100% sure that it was Paul, even though I personally believe he's Paul, okay, as far as the author goes. But that is aside the point. The fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit has some prominence. The Holy Spirit definitely has power, and the Holy Spirit most certainly has place. But are we giving Him the proper place in our lives? It's important because the Holy Spirit was in attendance at creation. Yeah, Genesis chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3. If you want to take and write that down there. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Now that's God the Father right there, who created. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit, that's a capital S, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of the waters. That's verse number 2. The Holy Spirit is moving upon the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, there's Jesus. Remember, He is the spoken word. And Jesus said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God the Son said, let there be light, and there was light. So right there at the beginning, there at creation, in attendance, was the Holy Spirit. This is not something, He's not some construct that suddenly came about, and, well, we're going to need somebody here, God, to, Father, to stick with these human beings, after I come back up to be here with you as their intermediator. I need some, let's call Him a comforter. Hey, I got it, let's create a Holy Ghost. No! He was there from the get-go. Co-equal to God the Father and God the Son. Before there was anything, there was God. You say, well, preacher, okay. You keep calling Him equal to God the Father, God the Son. I'm still not quite grasping this whole Trinity issue that you keep bringing up. All right, I'm going to pause here real quickly. I promise I'm not going to charge you one bit for this illustration here. Just something to try to help you to better understand how all three can be equal and yet one at the exact same time. When He existed before anything else did, and He was in attendance there at creation, how could He be all three at the same time? Simple. Hi, my name is Dennis Ray Sampson Jr. Now, hearing the junior part on there implies that I was named after my dad, which means that I, being male, am a son. Okay, so I am Dennis Ray Sampson Jr., the son. Hi, my name is Dennis Ray Sampson Jr. My daughter's name is Grace. Now, I have a biological daughter. We can do the DNA test to prove she is my child. Okay? That means that I am a dad. At the same time, I am also a son. Stay with me now. Stay with me. This is good. Hi. My name is Dennis Ray Sampson Jr. If you like, you can check my pulse. You'll find that I have a pulse. You can, you hear me, which means that the wind is blowing over my vocal cords, across my tongue and around my teeth to form words. My jaw is flapping, okay? Which means I'm a living person. Which means that my spirit is inside of my body. I am an individual. Okay? I'm not going to talk to you, any of you, as if you were my dad. Because you're not. My daughter is not listening right now. So, I'm not going to talk to any of you as if you were my kid. You're not. But I can talk to you as a friend. I can talk to you as a preacher, as a pastor, a co-worker, an individual. Now, if my dad were here and my daughter was here, and there's the four of us, or however many there is that's, listening out there. We were all here. I could interact with my dad as his son, with my daughter as her dad, and with you as an individual, all at the exact same time. Yet, at the exact same time as each level. As son, as dad, as individual. So that's how I am equal, all three parts, yet functioning as an individual part based on the situation. That's how Jesus was able to Go and say, my Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I ascend to my Father and to your Father. That's how the Holy Spirit is able to indwell us. Because He's equal. And yet He's with God all the time. Because He is God. Still a little bit of a mind trip there, but a little bit more manageable for us. So that's how He was able to be there in attendance at creation. He's not a created being. Just like Jesus is not a created being, they are one God all at the same time. But not only was the Holy Spirit in attendance at creation, He was in attendance at the commencement of Jesus' ministry. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit, that's capital S again, of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Spirit, right there. Jesus, at this point, had not performed any miracles whatsoever. He hadn't preached anything yet. He is just beginning His ministry by getting baptized by John the Baptist here. And the Holy Spirit descends down upon Him for everyone to see. Wow! God just blessed this man with the Holy Spirit. Say, now, what? Okay, how's that a big deal and all that? He is God the Father, or God the Son. Well, you remember the Old Testament, the Bible said that the Spirit would come and go. King Saul, for example, the Spirit came upon him and then left. Okay? The Spirit has come down upon Jesus. Helping Him kick off His ministry. Wow. But the Holy Spirit was also was in attendance at creation, at the commencement of Jesus' ministry, and the Holy Spirit will be in attendance at the conclusion of it all. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 13 and 14. Now that's the chapter that has the Valley of the dry bones symbolizing the nation of Israel becoming the nation of Israel again. That they're going to live again, you know, when Israel is actually reconstituted. Not the state that is over there right now, but when the nation of Israel is brought back by God Almighty. All everything has been said and done. The judgments have passed. Notice with me here in verse 13 and 14. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my Spirit in you. Because those who make it through the 7 years tribulation, those are the ones who are going to be enjoying the millennial reign. And ye shall live, and I shall place in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The conclusion of it all, the Holy Spirit's going to be right there too. Pretty cut and dry. But not only was the Holy Spirit in attendance, but the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. An intercessor for our condition. Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit, there's that capital S again, also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Those things that we are going through that put us in at such a point in time where we want to pray. We're begging God for words because we just don't know what to say because we're so overwhelmed. We're so burdened down. Our camel is buried under a straw stack and it just needs one more. And it's going to collapse. It's done. The back will break when that next straw hits it. We ain't got a clue how in the world to get out of this. We don't know how in the world to say, God, I need help because it don't seem like I'm getting any. The Holy Spirit is there for our condition as our intercessor, and He's talking to God the Father on our behalf. Yeah, we may not know it. We may not have a clue that He is. But He's faithful. We'll do something. And just, why in the world am I putting this out there for anybody to know my business? Guess what? That's part of the groanings of the Holy Spirit. He's helping you get the help you need by getting you to do something you normally would not have done. To step out of your comfort zone a little bit. Someone just happens to bring by a little blessing for you. Stop by and say, hey, I just want to say hi, I'm praying for you. That's because the Lord has heard the groanings of the Holy Spirit and the Lord has sent someone to be a help to you today. Waking you up in time. Make sure you get to church. Waking you up early. Hey, it might even be to wake you up late so you miss something that would have been detrimental to you. That's something we need to keep in mind a whole lot more often. So often we end up being late, get slowed down, get stopped dead in our tracks is because God's actually protecting us from something far worse down the line. The Holy Spirit has been an intercessory prayer for us on our behalf to protect us because our condition can't handle it no more. He intercedes for our condition. He intercedes for our clarity. John chapter 14 verse 26, Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. He's going to help us to understand it. He's going to bring clarity into our lives that we need, that we just can't simply get on our own. So what do you mean we can't get on our own? It's simple. Someone who is lost, they can know this Bible backward and forward. They can have it memorized and they don't have a clue of what's in here. They can quote scripture, but it's meaningless to them. They can twist it up real good, but there's nothing to it. Whereas the Lord will put a verse on our hearts, and we'll pick it up and say, what in the world is this about here? And we'll start reading it, and something will click. Maybe not the first time we read it, maybe it's the second time, the dozenth time, the thousandth time we read it. But it clicks. That's the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit to clarifying to us what's there. The Holy Spirit is an intercessor for our cleansing. Isaiah 44 verse number 3, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. The whole idea of pouring water out is to cleanse. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know, when they pierced His side, out from that wound came blood and water. The blood saved us. The water was for cleansing. To show that we have been cleansed. He's intercessing to clean us up. Those thoughts that want to come to our mind that we want to act upon, that's the Holy Spirit helping us to clear out that stuff so that we can follow the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the inspiration for canon. The canon of Scripture, the 66 books that we have in our Bibles here today, is because of Him and His leading of those men who got together as to which ones belong in the Bible, which ones don't. And there was a lot of them that didn't. Holy Spirit was that inspiration for it. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Right? Nothing in these 66 books that was written that God himself did not inspire the writer to write. What is it? 1600 years? 40, over 40 writers? And it's all in harmony. Because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the inspiration for conviction. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But it's the Spirit and the bride. If you're saved, you're part of the bride. So we're supposed to be inviting people to come to church. We're supposed to be inviting people to come and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Telling them how they can be saved. And we do this through the strength and power, the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That thought comes to mind. Hey, I need to witness to that person. That wasn't because of you, it was because of the Holy Ghost. You need to leave a track with somebody. That wasn't because of you, it was because of the Holy Ghost. He's inspired you to do this, to invite others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that you also have. And I want you to notice here as well, the Holy Spirit is indwelling the Christian body. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Of course, I didn't write that one down here. Let me turn over there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse number 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" We have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. Your heart is not the only thing inside of you, because he's inside of your heart. Your hand reaches out. He's reaching out. Those fingers right there. He's inside of them. Those toes, he's inside of them. The very hairs on your head, don't forget, the Bible says that God's got them numbered. The Holy Spirit's inside of those hairs too. Yes, some of us have a little bit extra room for there in the gut. Guilty. But you know what? He's a big God. He needs more room. Woo! But he's indwelling my Christian body. I'm not a Christian because I declare I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian because I have been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We live in a nation that calls itself a Christian nation, but let me tell you, brothers and sisters here, we are not a Christian nation anymore. We've gotten too far away from God. It's up to true Christians who are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Bring our nation back to God. The Holy Spirit not only is indwelling the Christian body, but he indwells as a confirmation of our security. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 13. Let me turn there real quickly. Verse number 13, the Bible says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Sealed. Whatever goes inside something and gets sealed, whatever's inside of it cannot free itself without outside help. Think about it. The prisoner who goes to jail there, unless something affects the walls or the door to his cell, he cannot get out. Whether it be by someone using a key to open up the door, someone knocking down a wall, he cannot escape that cell without some sort of outside help. If you have been saved by the Holy Spirit, sealed by him, you cannot lose your salvation, because you are not greater than him. You cannot break the seal. Oh, by the way, remember I said earlier he's equal to God the Father and God the Son? That means even God the Father can't break the seal, because he's fighting against something that's just as equally strong as him. You are too saved to be lost forever. Woo! He's the confirmation of our security, and that sealer, that defines ownership. A person who goes to jail, they are now owned by the state or the federal government, whoever it is that has put them in that cell. We are in the hand of Jesus, according to John chapter number 10, and He's in the Father's hands. Where is He's the confirmation of our security. The Holy Spirit indwells with our conscience. Romans chapter 9, verse number 1. The Bible says here, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So when those wrong thoughts come to mind and your heart begins pounding there, I shouldn't do this. Guess what? That's also the Holy Spirit saying, you shouldn't do this. When something comes to mind, I should do this. That's not just your conscience saying it's the right thing to do. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you know that's the right thing to do and you need to be doing it because He's indwelling you. Helping your conscience to guide you. For us to behave wisely, as it was said of David when he was just a soldier for Saul. But yet, God had him anointed as king. David behaved wisely. Because the Holy Spirit was with him. The Holy Spirit is with us. Helping us to make right choices. Helping us in the battle. To fight the fight. To stay in the fight. Holy Spirit is there. Whatever we see, He sees. Whatever we say, He says. Whatever we touch, He touches. Whatever we taste, He tastes. Whatever we think, it's going through His mind too. So if we indulge in sin, we are dragging the Holy Spirit through that sin with us. But when we're serving God the right way. Well, now we're being a blessing to the Holy Spirit because He's getting to live as He should as well. I've got just one question in closing here for you today. The question is this. Has your soul been inscribed by the Holy Spirit, or are you still a child of your sins? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day, and we ask you, Father, please, to help us, Lord, to follow your holy will, to listen to the leading of your Holy Spirit, to do as you'd have for us to do, Father. Help us, please, to be obedient to you. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. Our closing song today,